You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. Let's talk about transport first off the bat. Auckland Council's Transport and Infrastructure Committee has decided not to support the current plan, which is a $56 billion plan for a secondary harbour crossing. Can you talk us through what is actually going on here, Desley?
Yeah, well, I just want to make it really clear, we didn't reject another harbour crossing. I mean, we already have two, the main harbour bridge, which, by the way, I found out during the meeting was actually 10 bridges in one, but we might get to that another time. I didn't know that. And then, of course, we have the State Highway 18 crossing as well. So we didn't reject a third crossing. What we did reject is this particular plan, and there were a number of reasons for that. First, it was unfunded. You know, there was no clear, understanding of where the money would come from or who had to pay. And, of course, there's always a nervousness that it might be us. That was a very big part of it. It wasn't supported by the Ministry of Transport or Auckland Transport as an option, and that was important for us. It was pretty much the most expensive option, and you know, we wanted to see what some of the lower cost options were and wanted to know why they were being discarded so early when they achieved a sort of a similar outcome but were expected to cost a lot less, and these were things like bridges as opposed to tunnels.
Yes.
And then, of course, there was a big one that it put road tunnels first to public transport second. And in the climate resilience world that we now live in, there are a lot of people that kind of felt it should be the other way around. So, look, there were a number of reasons. Another big one is if you're going to spend that amount of money, $56 billion, was that the biggest priority for the city? And the mayor, you know, has said multiple times, we're looking at an integrated transport plan for Auckland, and where would this kind of fit into that plan as being a priority, etc. So there were, you know, a huge number of reasons, and it was a unanimous decision. So I think a lot of people came with a view from very different places, but ended up with the same decision.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, one of the things that we do still have and will have as a problem for Auckland is, you know, growing population, also growing spread of where people are living. We are going to need more routes for moving around the city. So what's the next step for looking at how we do make it easier to get across the harbour? What other options are being considered?
Well, I think it's about having that conversation with the new government about looking at those earlier, cheaper options and, as I said to you before, putting that in the mix with the integrated transport plan. You know, what we have to do as a council, working with central government, is look at a long-term plan for transport growth and resilience in Auckland. We have to do it together because a lot of the big projects are co-funded or funded in different ways. And that conversation has now been started. Now we have a new government, and the mayor and the minister for Auckland, Minister of Transport, are beginning those discussions.
It's going to be an interesting one to follow when we do hear a little bit more about that conversation. But let's turn to summer, Desley, because there's a few things on the horizon there to keep an eye on. Quite a significant change in terms of disaster notification is coming to the city. We're getting rid of tsunami sirens, which is significant, I think. We're going to the phone alerts, which obviously people are getting quite used to now. But how has this decision come about? Because I'm imagining there are people in some quite rural and remote communities who might be a wee bit concerned about this change.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one, Rachel, because I was a bit of a lone voice against this decision. I think it was, I was the only one that voted against this. But I do get the reasons for the tsunami sirens that have, or that will be deactivated, or the sort of started on the 1st of December. These were old sirens that the way that they the technology behind them was very much old. A lot of them had been vandalised. They were in a very poor state. So, you know, there are a number that have as I said, that are now being deactivated. And it's like there's, you know, Solid Point Wells, Omaha, Hobsonville, Herald Island, Waiwera, Waitakere, Bethels, Tehenga, Piha, Karikari have got three, Te Atatū have got five. So they're older sirens, and as I said, they've got outdated technology. We've got two new ones in Orewa that came in 2020, and they'll remain. But yes, we are going to this new system. I kind of felt that, especially in the rural areas, we haven't got perfect mobile coverage anywhere in Auckland. And if there is going to be a tsunami, which is, you know, you have limited time, it's a major disaster, threat to life, I kind of was going to go for every option available, you know, to let people know. But as I said, there was that real concern that what we had was outdated. But just to use one form, for me, you know, I know we have a generation of people that are joined to phones at their hip. I was just still a bit nervous that I would have preferred to keep them.
So is it our only form now? Is the mobile alert device system our only form of tsunami warning in Auckland?
No, we do have two in Orewa, which will remain. But in those outlying areas, the ones that have been there before, and there are a number of them, they will be removed, and the sort of major or main form of emergency alert will be via the mobile alert system. And we've used it a lot
Totally. I'm sure people are very used to the mobile alert system now. For a lot of people, it is the first thing you see. But I do think it's very interesting, and I know our listeners are a bit worried about it. When you're at the beach, in theory, you might hopefully not be looking at your phone. You might be having a nice time enjoying it. But, you know, is this something that is in a trial period, or is this definitely the way forward for Auckland for now?
Well, that's what the situation is currently. And I said, you know, I've told you my position on it. But I suppose what I think we all need to be aware of is your own awareness around what happens. You know, if you feel a strong earthquake that makes it hard to stand, or something that lasts for longer than a minute, you see a sudden rise or fall in the sea level, you hear a loud noise or an unusual noise from the sea, you know, what do they say? Long, strong, get gone. So, you know, get gone, move to higher ground. And I just think, you know, we're in a... I don't want to frighten anybody, and that's absolutely not my intent, but I just think we all need to be just a little more alert as an island nation on a number of things that can go wrong, and just be prepared as individuals, as whānau, as family, you know, just talk about it calmly and know that, make sure that everyone sort of knows what to do when things go wrong.
Speaking of that, is there any move from council to have some sort of education campaign around this? Because I mean, there are a lot of people who I imagine don't know that this change has come into effect.
Yeah, there will be, obviously, especially in those areas, there will be education, and we're doing, you know, there's been some media, I mean, you've picked that up obviously as well, around that. I mean, it's not as if there's nothing. It's just that the system that people have known in the past, we have tsunami testing days, you know, and we give an awareness around that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a change.
Well, yeah. One last thing to talk about, just briefly, because we have talked about it before, but probably good to get a reminder of heading into summer again. Kalerpa, this exotic seaweed that is really causing issues in the harbour at the moment and up in the Bay of Islands as well. What do people need to be aware of, particularly if they're heading out in boats over the summer, Desley?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we have talked about this before. Kalerpa is a real concern environmentally. And Biosecurity New Zealand, and you know, is really pushing out quite a big campaign around this. So I think there's three things: know how to recognise it, and if you what to do if you think you've spotted the weed, and know where to avoid going, and then what to do about it. So what they're saying, MPI is also leading the response to Kalerpa, and they're working closely with iwi community groups. in Auckland and with, of course, us at Auckland Council's our biosecurity team. So basically, it's, if you see it, bag it and bin it, but bin it on the mainland. Mm-hmm. Put it back on your boat, take it to a bin, and be very conscious where you drop anchor. Try and use a mooring as opposed to an anchor drop if you can, because it comes up on your anchor or hook. If you think you have seen some, note the location, take a photo and report it on, and there's an 0800 number. It's 0800 80 99 66. And I'll say that again, it's 0800 80 99 66. Or they have a report online place for you to go, which is report.mpi.govt.nz. So, yeah, keep a note of where you found it, bag it, keep it on board. Don't drop it on an island. Bring it back to the mainland and dispose of it sensibly.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Desley. That's a really good PSA heading into summer. We'll talk to you again next week for our last catch-up with you for the year. So thanks so much. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
No worries. Thanks, Rachel. Bye now.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.